I've been challenged this past few days with a verse in Micah 6 and 8. And I think about our song number 219 that we sing, I am learning of my Savior, precious lessons every hour, how the soul that he has ransomed may be kept by mighty power. We don't have to wait till Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, or Wednesday night to learn of our Savior. There can be little things happening in our life, and the Lord give us life lessons from that. Well, I was starting with this in Micah 6 and 8. And it starts out before, in the sixth verse, you know, it's like I'm coming to the Lord. I want to be pleasing in his sight. I want to offer something to him. It says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for the transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? I was singing with this. Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? You know, there is a verse that talked to King Saul. Samuel talked to King Saul, and he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And it makes me realize this, because I read something over in the Bible where it tells that Solomon, when his heart was to follow after God, that he was offering thousands of animals to the Lord. It was just from his heart. But you know what? We got to maintain that. There's some things that the Lord's pleased with. He wants something more than all this, thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil. Here's what he wants. Eighth verse. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Here is a definition of mercy, a tenderness of heart that causes a person to treat an offender better than justice would serve. Justice says you did this, and this needs to be a result for it. You remember where Jesus, I think that's in Matthew, ye have heard that it hath been said, Matthew 5 and 38. Look at the contrast here of what it used to be. You have heard it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Look at this contrast right here. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You know, we're in this song that we're talking about, here's my desire to live for the Lord, but I'm going to need the Lord's help to be able to help me to have mercy. Not just have mercy, but to love mercy. So I look at some of these things. There's an example, God's example of his mercy that he's shown to me. I'd like to look at some of those verses in Psalms 130, and you think about what is available to us, 3 and 4 of Psalms 130. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? You know, if the Lord only marked iniquities, he checked them off, yep, this is what you have committed, and there was no mercy available to any of us, who would be able to stand? None of us would be able to. But look at this fourth verse. Here's the mercy that God has extended to us. But there is mercy with thee, that thou mayest be feared. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquity, who shall stand? And also in 103, and 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous, has a big supply of mercy available for us. And let's kind of hold this verse in our mind, because we will see this verse come again a little bit later. There's another verse, Psalms 136. And when we look at this chapter, it's like he wants to drill it in. He wants us to really get a hold of this. Psalms 136 and 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. I need to know that. Willing to give to me something better than what I deserve. And then for 26 verses, every verse in that chapter ends with, "For his mercy endureth forever." I want you to be impressed that his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endures today to those who don't turn to him. There is a song that we have sung, "When I look o'er the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me." Because, and then I believe as all this is coming to us, it's to help me to see how much mercy the Lord has had on me and on the world around me. And then it needs to have something happen in me. Because there was something that happened in Luke in the 9th chapter. And I find that this same thing can happen to me in this day that we're living in. In the 9th chapter and in the 54th verse. When they went into a village of the Samaritans in the 52nd to make ready for him, and they didn't receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Somehow the disciples took this as a slight to Jesus. They don't want us being here. So here's a reaction that comes from them. And I want to look at this as it happens. Can this happen to me? When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" You know, in our day and time, there's things happening out in the world that I think, Lord, it's almost time for judgment to come on all these things. But look at what he did. He turned and he rebuked them, 55th verse. And he said, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of." What he's letting them know is, you know what, your mercy is not extending far enough. "The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them." And they just went on to another village. Just move on. And I look at another verse. When we look at the Good Samaritan and we think of mercy, mercy extends in other areas besides just treating someone better than justice would do. That means somebody's done me wrong and I'm going to treat them better than they deserve. I think mercy stretches out into some other areas. I think it's also called compassion. Because you remember blind Bartimaeus? He hadn't done something wrong to Jesus that he's calling out for mercy. But what did he say? "Have mercy on me, thou son of David. Lord, what I'm asking for is, would you please have compassion on the needs that I have?" And to be able to share that with others. In the 10th chapter of Luke, we have that story of the Good Samaritan, and we've read it so many times. And apparently this was a Jew that's traveling. And Jesus made sure everyone understood who it was that helped him. The religious leaders that you think they would have been the one to step in and say, we can help you out. Maybe they just went by on the other side of the road because they had other things that need to be done, and somebody will surely come along and help them. But then Jesus stressed, you know what? It was the Samaritan that came out and helped them. You remember something about the Jews and the Samaritans? The woman at the well, when Jesus asked her for a drink of water, she said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan, a drink of water?" Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So, you know, Jesus is getting a lesson to these people. And I look at the right toward the end of it. Whenever the Samaritan has taken him to the inn, cared for him that night. Next morning he says, "I'm going to have to leave now, but you keep the bill together and I'll come back and pay it later." And it says in the 36th verse, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" He said, "He that showed mercy on him." Jesus says, "Go thou and do likewise." So I'm thinking about, as we look at the mercy that Jesus has extended to me, And his desire is that that mercy would flow through me and that I would show mercy to those around me. And I think of mercy, I look at the story of Jonah. When Jonah ran from God and he ends up in the belly of the fish and he spends almost a chapter praying for mercy, asking God, would you please look down in mercy upon me? And God had mercy on him and gave him the message to continue on to Nineveh with. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. There are some lessons in that story for me today in 2025 with wickedness all around me. You know, there really is kind of a message to all the wickedness. The time is coming when all this is going to come to an end. But you know what that could have, God did not tell him he had to say anything besides those 8 words. But what would it have been like if Jonah would have said, I want to tell you about this God that I serve. He is a merciful God. If you will repent, maybe he would turn. He never mentioned those things. In fact, whenever the message came to them, just maybe a little 8-word message, and somehow it struck their hearts to where the people, first of all, the people turned. And then the king went down off of his throne in sackcloth and ashes. And what did they say? I tell you what, God had better change his mind. No, they didn't. What they said was, let's repent. For 3 days, we're not going to eat or drink anything. And don't put anything out for the animals. We're going to send up a prayer, a sound to God. We are sorry for what we've done. And they did that. And what happened? God repented him of the evil that he had planned to do. Showed mercy on them. It looks like then that Jonah would have been so happy, that Jonah would have said, thank you, Lord, for turning this around. There's 120,000 people that would have been lost, but you have saved them. What did it say in the 4th chapter? It said Jonah was angry. And what was he angry about? It was this verse that we just read over in Psalms. Because he talks about, Lord, I knew that this is the kind of God that you were. You have mercy on people. Wow. A week ago or a few days ago, yet 40 days, so I guess it was that amount of time back, he had mercy shown to him. You know, this stirs me to realize, you know what, much mercy has been shown to me. It wasn't just when I was unsaved, but it's the mercy that he shows to me daily. And I want to be very careful that I don't do like Jonah whenever I look at the mercy that is needed by the people around us today, and that my prayer would not be, Lord, you need to bring judgment down as James and John did. But instead, what did Jesus say? I didn't come to condemn them. I didn't come to destroy them. I came to save them. May I have that same desire myself. There is another example of this, of mercy being shown in Luke in the 15th chapter. And when we read this story, it starts in the 11th verse. This is the story of the prodigal son. And it tells about this young son. He walked off and left what the father had, took his inheritance, and he heads off into a far country. And there he wastes his substance in riotous living. You know what? There's going to need some mercy to be shown on down the road, because now he's in a famine. You know, the world will have a lot of fun, but there's a famine coming for them. And I want to be able to be in the place like the father was. You know, the father, at the day that the young man left, the father could have had, what is it, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The father could have had that root of bitterness springing up. I tell you what, after all I did for my boy, just let him have it out there. Let the trouble come to him. I don't care. No, he did care. Because somehow, on the day that the young man said, I tell you what, there's servants at my father's house that's eating better than I'm eating. I'm going back. And is he going back and saying, Dad, I tell you what, I'm still your son. You owe me something. No, his purpose for going back was, Dad, I tell you what, if you'll just forget about me having been your son, would you just take me in as one of your servants? And what did it say? Did he go to the house and he knocked on the door a long time before dad ever even came to the door? No, it said while he was yet a long ways off. You know what that tells me? Dad had been watching. Dad had been looking down the road. There's a whole lot to learn out of that story. Dad did not send extra money for him to continue in his riotous living, but he was watching down the road to show mercy when he would turn around and come again. And the young man just starts with his story. Dad, I tell you, I'm so sorry. When his dad was so happy to have him back home again. But that story doesn't end there. We're talking about mercy today. Because dad comes back and he kills the fatted calf and they're going to celebrate. And the older son. You know, this story tells me something about what must have been going through the older son's mind all the days that this young one is gone. There was not a pity for him, hoping should he ever come back. I hope he'll come back. But you remember when the older son came and he heard all the noise and the music and all, and he said, what's going on in there? They said, the younger son has come back again, and they're celebrating. You know, he was kind of like Jonah, angry that there was celebration going on for the other son. And what did he tell his dad? Dad, all these years I've served you, and you never had a celebration like this. You know what dad was telling him? Son, I tell you what, all this, everything I have is yours. It's all available for you. There's so many lessons for me today in 2025. These are not just Bible stories that I used to tell the children. These are lessons for me in the attitude that I should have toward the people around me. There was another story in Matthew in the 20th chapter. And I think this is another lesson for me, because in this one there's some hiring being done, some people going out and doing some laboring. 20:1, kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that's a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. So he gets some people to start working for him early in the day, and they work all day long. And he's agreed when they are hired, he agreed with them for how much they would get. Each man will get a penny. At the end of this day, you have agreed. You work all day and you'll get this amount. Well, then he goes back out later. He still needs some more workers. Goes out at different hours through the day and he checks and there's still somebody. He hires them and just, comes to the place where he starts saying, whatever is right, I'll pay you. He's no longer saying, here's what I'm going to give. Just come on and work, and whatever's right, I'll pay you. What does he say at the end of it? He pays from the last person to the first. And that person that had come in on the 11th hour, he worked 1 hour. They gave him the same amount, gave the penny. And it said the ones that were watching that had worked all day, they said, you know what, we're going to get more than that because we worked all day. And they were upset when that did not happen. And he said, you know what? I agreed with you for that amount. And I think about for us today, the Lord has agreed with us for heaven, our home, if we will be faithful. You know what? And I want to be very glad if there's a sinner that has lived their whole life in sin, and right at the last, at the 11th hour, the Lord could deal with them and somehow cause them to turn and be saved. You know what? I want to be one of those that rejoice that the Lord would save them at the last hour and snatch them from being lost for eternity. I want that to be able to happen. But there's another example for us. There's a mercy being shown. I look at in the 8th chapter of John. The woman that was caught in adultery, and they've come to her and said, the scripture says that she should be stoned. What do you say needs to happen? And it says what they were trying to do was to trick him, to catch him in his words. And he never said anything. You know what? Mercy is about to be shown, not just to the woman, but also to all of the men that brought her. Because it said he just stooped down and he started writing in the dust. We don't know what he wrote in the dust. You look at the commentaries and some will try to think about what he wrote. But there's one thing that we can know about what he wrote. Those that stood around accusing her while he was writing in the dust, they turned and by their conscience being convicted, they went away one by one. You know what was happening to them? Mercy was being extended. Whatever he was writing, he could have spoken it out to all the crowd. This is what this one's doing, and here he's trying to accuse her. Instead, whatever it was, he wrote something in the dust that could be wiped away again. It was just for their opportunity. Mercy's being extended to you. You know what? Those men did not have to walk away. They could have said, Lord, I tell you what, you just showed me something in my own life. I'm sorry for that. But instead, they all disappeared. And what does Jesus say to her? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I am thankful for that. Now, as I look at each of these stories, there's another something that comes to me. It's found in Luke 6. Because I want to have the level of mercy that he's extended to me, I want to have it to those around me. 6 and 36. Little, very small verse. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. To show that same level of mercy to others, whether they have wronged me, or if they're just like the good Samaritan and the man that was robbed, just extending help to somebody that is in need, showing compassion to them. Because here is one more story. In Matthew, in the 18th chapter, because Jesus made it real clear, helped us with stories to be able to take a look at them and see, look down in ourselves and do some examining. Matthew 18 and 21. Peter has just asked him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, not until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. You know, forgiveness is a form of mercy. Whether the person has ever asked for mercy or not, or whether they ever even desire your forgiveness or not, mercy is extended whenever I release them. And then he gives them a story. Kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Those kind of things can't happen in the day and time we live in here in America. You get a lawyer and cause it not to happen. But you know what? There was a time when I just think, what was going through this man's mind? My children, my wife, everything I own is going to be sold and payment to be made. And I would have done the same thing as this servant did. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Here comes mercy. It's in the form of compassion in the 27th verse. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave the debt. What would it have been? 1 minute, my wife and family and everything I have is going to be sold and payment made. And the next minute, he has forgiven the debt, and I am free to go home. It looks like I would remember that the rest of my life. And I think of the verse that says, be ye merciful, as your Father which is in heaven is merciful. Because this is more than just somebody owing some money. This is about my life also, and the mercy that was extended and God forgiven me. And then it tells us, and I think it's important here in the 28th verse, it's not just telling us they found another servant out there somewhere that wasn't like that. No, it says the same servant went out. I just kind of like to think about this as he was on his way home, so happy that he had been forgiven of such a great debt, so anxious to tell his family what had happened, and all of a sudden he sees this man that owes him a little bit. Same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Wouldn't it have been so good if this verse would have ended and he told him, "Sir, you don't owe me anything. I have just been forgiven of so much." But instead it says, he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." His fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all." Same thing that he had just recently said to the big debt that was owed, that he owed. He would not. You know, I want to examine myself and the mercy that I show to others around me. One of the places for mercy, I may never find somebody beat up on the road and I help them out like the Good Samaritan did. But you know, I'm going to find some people that are in need of forgiveness, whether they know it or not. It's going to be mercy extended to me. And it should be easier to extend that mercy to them when I think about the mercy that the Lord has shown to me. Because in this one, he would not, but he went and cast him in prison till he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and told their Lord all that was done. And he said, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" I wonder if Jesus is looking down on my life today and the mercy that I extend back to others around me in relation to the value that I have put on the mercy that Jesus has shown to me in my life. He was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. But this next verse is what I want us to look at. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." You know, we've seen several examples of other people and the mercy that needed to be shown. There's another verse that I want to look at in James. James 2 and 13. Because now it comes down to me, what's going to be the punishment for me if I don't extend the mercy that has been shown to me, extend that mercy to other people? James 2 and 13. "He shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy." So there would be judgment come to me without mercy extended one day if I have not extended mercy to others. But I like this other piece. Mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy takes a look and says, this is what judgment would give on this situation. This person did me so wrong. I hold this against them for years. But it says, mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy says, I tell you what, I will release this thing. You know what that releases? It's not just releasing the other person. It releases something inside of me. When we see that over in Matthew 7 and 1, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." That doesn't mean that we cannot see wrong. But it also, as we see wrong, that it would be tempered with mercy. Lord, I tell you what, this is such a terrible situation that we're in. I never would have thought we would see the day where transgender is acceptable. We're here. And you know what? We have a choice to make. We can be like Jonah, angry if the Lord shows mercy. Or we can say, Lord, would you please, as you have had mercy on me, would you also have mercy on others? I am very thankful for it. I want to be challenged. Here's what the Lord's looking for. Do justly. Love mercy. I love it every time the Lord has shown me mercy. I also want to love. You know, when we love something, it's pretty easy to do it. Love to show mercy to others. Blessed are the merciful is one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know what? I'm going to need mercy to be extended to me out in my future to make heaven my home. May I be merciful to those around me. Lord, help me.